we're glad to have you guys back on the Tip of the Tower podcast. It's been about five games since we last recorded when we had Chris Johnson on the podcast, which still, thinking back, was just unreal.
Yeah, he is what I aspire to be. He is my spirit animal. I love him.
And Chris Johnson will never come back on the podcast because I think he lost it. We still can't find Richard Lee Sam, unfortunately.
He's Twitter fingers. That's all I have to say.
Well, I mean, we can find him on Twitter. We just can't find the person.
At our Lee Sam. Make sure you let him know we're missing.
But the last time we talked, five games the Leafs have played, we have seen good, we've seen bad, and we've seen ugly. Most recently, it's been good. So, let's put it in perspective. The last time we chatted, it was the game against Philly.
Yeah.
Which...
A lot happened.
A lot happened, and should not have happened.
Yeah.
I'm not going to skim through those three games, because...
Well, the biggest thing that came out of it was Morgan Rielly was lost with that upper body injury. That was the biggest takeaway from that Philly game, other than... I don't really remember what happened in that Philly game other than another OT loss. Well, that was their fourth straight OT loss?
William Nylander to the... Yeah, that was just where they had the string of OT wins and losses that they couldn't get out of. Then, Ottawa, they had the big comeback in the third period, which
should
never have happened in the first place.
They shouldn't have had to come back. That was dumb.
But they dominated that. That was a game that they should have dominated throughout, but they dominated the third. And
good for Craig Anderson.
Yep.
Turns the season around every time he plays the Leafs.
Yeah, that one, I don't think Anderson...
Well, for a long while, it looked like he was going to do the same thing he did the last time we played them.
Yeah.
The Senators, he was going to steal that game for them. They were going to come out with maybe one goal ahead. And Leaf fans would be really upset saying, this is a guy that's been at the bottom half of the league for stats, and he shows up against us every game. The Leafs squeak a couple past him, and we're obviously talking about a different story than we thought we would be.
Yep, and then we had the Colorado game, which...
Tire fire.
Talking points for a good reason. Like, when it comes to... I'm going to bring it up now, because the next two... Goalie interference has now become probably the hottest topic in the NHL. And it's a shame. Yeah. It's a shame. Like, you don't want to talk about goalie interference.
You're just kind of forced to.
You are.
They've made it impossible for us not to talk about it.
Yeah. So, okay. The Colorado game. Everybody knows. Matthews' goal... A lot of people said it should have been a goal. Colin Campbell, I heard him on Hockey Central, went, nope, that shouldn't have been a goal. But then the Anderson should have been a goal because Roman Polak apparently shoved Anisimov on Anderson. Which,
I mean, there's an argument to be made that he shoved him, but he sort of touches him in the back, and then he stays up, and then he falls. Like, there's an error of time. Where if he shoves you, you're not staying up on your feet for that half second. So I don't... Regardless, he also high-sticked Anderson underneath the mask. He got a stick right underneath his chin.
Yeah,
didn't... And rattled his mask, and that didn't get anything. That's what was more upsetting to me, was that...
Okay, before we even go forward of discussing these calls, do you know what goalie interference is? How would you define... Your understanding of what goaltender interference is, even if you don't understand the NHL's way of
interpreting when I see it on TV, the only thing I think of is, did the player allow the goalie to make the save? Was the goalie able to attempt to make a shot, to get a shot at the puck?
So what you're saying is, did the
player... That's the very bare bones way that I look at it when I'm looking at a goal.
You look at the word interfere.
And I take it for what it is. Did it impede his progress to make a play?
In Anderson's case, you could say yes. He probably... Maybe he could have made the save.
Yeah.
But goalies now... And
The one on Bernier, I don't get it.
Yeah, that one I don't get.
The puck's in behind him.
That and... Did he try? Like, I'm feeling no, some it, goalies... No, it
did not look like he tried.
Some goalies... I feel like the NHL needs to get it to a point where goalies... Or the NHL's at a point right now where goalies are not trying.
You,
Well, before you get there, the reason why I say it is because I feel like as soon as contact is made, goalies don't try to make the save.
Yeah.
So that it gives the illusion that they can't make the save. But I think more goalies would get the benefit of the doubt of trying to make the save. And if they really can't make the save and it's obvious, because I don't think it's obvious for the refs right now.
No.
And that could be the problem. Maybe the problem is not the rule. Maybe it's just the refs are not getting a clear enough indication of are the goalies able to make that save? Because that's what they're looking for.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The thing that also bothers me, which is what I was going to jump in with, is Bernier, you see with these cases that a lot of the goalies are throwing their arms up and they're livid. Bernier made no case to the referee.
I actually thought Bernier did as the goal was scored. I thought
The overhead, it kind of just looks like he goes, okay. And he gets up and moves on.
Yeah.
I don't know. But regardless, it's a goal. Or it's not a goal, excuse me. I'm thinking of
This is my second problem with this whole goalie interference thing.
I don't even know if it's goal. And I can't even tell you what.
So, the NHL...
There's been so many misses.
The NHL has this now, video review. A coach can challenge the call on the ice for a goalie interference. Goes to the situation room where they talk. Who has the final say? The person that made the original call.
It's not Toronto that gets the say.
This is where I'm going to bring Edmonton up in this scenario because, yeah, Toronto does not get the final say because, as the rule states, the referee still makes that call. Now, in the NFL, when it comes to challenges, they have to have enough evidence to overturn the original call.
Yeah.
It's not that the ref has the final say. Can the challenge or the video review determine whether the ref's call was right or wrong? In this case, the ref could be completely wrong, but it's still his call in the end.
Yep.
The NHL video review will probably persuade or try to tell him, you may not want to, that doesn't look right to us, don't call that. And I don't like that, because what's the point of review if the ref still has the say in the end?
There's now, still human error involved.
Yeah. There is. Oh, who's reviewing? It's not a robot reviewing. It's still a human.
Again, if it was in Toronto, there would still possibly be human error.
Yeah.
But they're also looking at it on a full monitor, not an iPad.
That too. Now, this brings me to the Edmonton one, because we all know...
I don't want to bring it back to, real quick, lacrosse. I'll bring it in, because they do video review challenges in lacrosse. They have a full monitor that they bring up in the penalty box, like, I don't know, a 30-inch... computer monitor that they have just sitting on its screen. Okay. So it's not in anybody's way in the penalty box, but the ref can go in, watch on a full monitor and see the call. Would that not be, the NHL has the funds, there's no doubt about that. If the NLL can do it,
look, the NFL, who sponsors it in the NFL? Microsoft.
Yeah.
It's sponsored by a technology company. You're telling me whoever, I think LG has been a sponsor.
You can't spare a monitor in any of those barns? I'm sure they have
Do you think? What do you think the coaches are watching on the bench?
Mike Babcock probably has he has those big monitors on the back.
He looks down at him because it's right there at his feet.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know.
Okay, now I'm going to bring the Edmonton up. I want to bring it up because...
Yeah.
What did the ref say when he made that call? He didn't say the call on the ice is a no goal. The situation room in Toronto has deemed it a no goal.
See, That blows my mind. If any of the fans in Edmonton, they're probably going to hate me, but I don't think that was a goal. They won regardless, so it's not like it mattered.
It didn't matter.
They won, right? I didn't catch that.
I still think...
Because McDavid in the shootout.
I think we're getting into this part where...
Well... Doug McLean was on today on Sportsnet, and he made a very good point, is that the idea for that goal is with goalie interference is McDavid's skate caught, who's it, Rittich in net?
Yeah.
Caught Rittich's pad and didn't allow him to push back the other way because he had been moved.
I thought it was the stick, but maybe it was
I think it might have been his, either or. But regardless, his like, he was going in one, it pushed him in one direction.
When he wanted to go in the other
direction. Yeah, when he was trying to go back towards the puck, which is the rationale, which is fine.
But, you know, it's at the same time, if he pushes over, is there a chance that Strome still is not able to get that to go in?
Listen, Edmonton's been, they'll tell you, they've been screwed over just as much as the Leafs have in the last year when it comes to goalie interference, and I'd say probably in a more high-leverage situation with Kessler and Talbot last year. So, but, I mean, the Leafs have had their fair share this year. I mean, Jonathan Quick, remember that in the home game?
Yeah, let's... Who was that?
Marner had the puck. I forget who clipped him.
Was it Matt Martin that...
I don't think so. I think it was one of Van Riemsdyk or Bozak, but it could have been. Oh, no, actually, yeah, it might have been.
Because that was a time where...
Yeah, fourth line time.
Demoted to the
Forgot about that.
Line, yeah.
And Marner held the puck to make sure Quick could get back into position, and then he challenged the shot, and Marner put it in after he challenged it, and it was called off. So it's a real fine line right now, and it's making a lot of people upset.
Yeah. Especially Mike Babcock. Like, when I went to practice last week. No, sorry. What am I saying? I'm so off on my days.
This week, David.
This past week on Tuesday, they asked...
I wasn't even there, and I know you were there this week.
Exactly. I was... Who was it that asked that question? It was Mark Masters that asked that question.
Mark Masters has been on the goalie interference train all week, because he asked about it after the Dallas game yesterday.
Yeah, so...
And the Chicago game.
And he's just like, yeah, don't know. Yeah.
He's the guy.
And he's just like, what do you think? And I'm just like, I'm not saying anything.
I mean, we covered the Leaf preseason game, the both of us, and he was the one that was asking about the face-off infractions, the first game, the Babcock. So if there's a rule thing that's like borderline, like he's the one to ask.
Isn't good friends with the referees anymore.
Shocker.
You wonder if reputation plays into this at all. Look, at this point, it cost the Leafs. Did it cost them that Colorado game? I don't think so.
No, because they
Matthews scored like literally
30 seconds later.
The next shift he was on the ice, he scored. So when it in Edmonton's case, if they lost that game, it would have blown up. It blew up because Connor McDavid
still blew up.
Gestured to the refs, which
and so did Austin Matthews. Yeah. Which a lot of people said.
There was a big difference between McDavid and Matthews. Matthews was, in the moment, going, good goal. But he didn't tell the refs.
Yeah, but...
He didn't mock the refs saying, you want to go upstairs? You want to go upstairs? Now, I don't blame McDavid. I thought that he's fully within his right. If the refs are allowed to... you've ever listened to refs mic'd up?
Yeah.
They swear. They do whatever. They say whatever they want to the players. Mm-hmm. If a player has a problem with a call and he's like, and he does something like what McDavid did, I've got no problem with that.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, as long as you're not doing something that's threatening a ref's safety or something like that.
Yeah, if you're not putting your hands on the ref, if you're not being abusive.
As long as you don't take it to that
point. When you talk to them as well, if you don't threaten them or anything. If you say, like what McDavid did, you want to go upstairs and review that one too? Now, in that case,
busting his balls.
In that case, too, it's like, well, also, coaches' challenge have also been a problem, Connor. So it's not just the refs. Sometimes the refs don't want to review these things.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you give coaches the coaches' challenge. So I'm interested in seeing how the NHL tries to solve this problem, because it's a problem. It's to the point where the last week it's been magnified.
Yeah.
And when something is magnified like that, usually you don't want it to become a bigger problem, but guess what, NHL? You got a problem now.
And there's also another one that happened with the Penguins.
AJ's Minnesota. That one was...
His stick got knocked away, and...
Bruce Boudreau apologized for that one, though.
Yeah.
He said the refs were right. He was just pissed. Because his team was getting smacked.
Yeah.
And then when you score a goal, and you're like, oh, maybe there's a chance... And then something like that happens, it doesn't...
I've seen both arguments with that goal. It's like, how the hell could this affect his save? And there's other people that don't mind it. Very few people, like a lot of people, were more on the what the hell is this?
Yeah, everyone's going to have a disagreement with the
goal. That puck went high glove or high blocker. He's not going to swing his stick up and save it high blocker.
Sure.
So it has no effect on whether or not he can make a save, but whatever.
Yeah, we're not. I'm done with this discussion of goaltending interference just because
I hate it. Well,
you hate it, but it's something you have to talk about.
You touched on Colin Gamble. I mean, he said CJ was on 590 again this morning, and Colin Gamble, he said that Colin said this would be probably discussed first at the GM meetings in March.
Should be discussed this weekend too.
It should be, but they said more likely.
Well, I mean, Gary Bettman's going to get asked about it too.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
There's no tiptoeing around it, Gary.
Austin Matthews was on. Sorry, I was at work today, so I listened to a lot of 590.
Well, I cut his.
Austin Matthews was on 590 today, and he was asked about it two or three times. So it's not going to go away.
Which some people were not happy about, but it's the big topic right now. So that. All right, let's talk about Austin Matthews and the Leafs, because those last two games, not as much to complain about. You win.
Beautiful.
The last time they won in Chicago was a long time ago. When the Yurki
Lume scored the last time they won in Chicago.
Oh, boy. But now, the Blackhawks were terrible in those times. Those games were not even on TV, I don't think.
No, they didn't televise them because they were so bad.
No, that was not why.
Oh.
The owner wanted people in the seats. Now, okay, maybe it changed a little bit. Maybe they did. I can't remember when that rule was changed where the Blackhawks finally got back on TV.
Yeah.
That's why you also lost a generation of Blackhawks fans.
Yeah.
But now that's not a problem with the way the things were going. But I am surprised with how things are going in Chicago. And
I'm not.
As good of a story as Jeff Glass is, you can kind of see where Chicago has gone off the rails a little bit because Corey Crawford makes that team different.
Yeah, I mean, but that's just...
Loyalty has been put in the wrong place there. Like, Marian Hossa not being there... It's changed a lot. The Brandon Saad trade...
Brandon Saad for Artemi Panera, and that probably pissed a lot of people off. I looked at it weird. Stan Bowman is sort of like Dean Lombardi in a way.
Yep.
Where they're in those go-for-it years... And you do whatever you need to do to get as many
cups. The Blackhawks have been able to stay competitive because they've also been able to draft well.
Yes, and they have drafted well. I mean, Nick Schmaltz is playing for their team. Ryan Hartman, Alex DeBrincat had a hat trick last night.
There's some couple of D-men that are like Brian Seabrook is.
I don't know if Osterley is a draft pick, but he's been very good for them.
He's a young. Okay, let's say they've been.
Connor Murphy was from Arizona. He came over in the Jalmerson trade, which is another piece.
Yeah,
that they gave away.
I didn't understand what the Blackhawks were trying to do there. I know they're trying to offload a little salary, but...
Yeah, it's because that Keith and Seabrook contracts, they're really starting to hurt them.
Keith's contract is probably the best one on the
team. Yeah, well, no, for sure.
The Taves contract is what is hurting them, let's be real.
Yeah, fair enough.
He's won two Stanley Cups, but he's not worth $10.5 million.
No. That's kind of like the Wilder paying, what is it, $8 or $9 million for Parise right now? What was it at the time? I forget. It was a record at the time. But he's just come back. He has one point since coming back from his injury like a month ago.
Before those, the 8-year maximum term was dished out, which I never agreed to giving players like Parise, who I didn't really consider.
It's because he was from Minnesota and he was the top free agent.
It
was namesake.
And him and Ryan Suter, you bring them both there. That's what they were trying to do with those deals.
Ryan Suter's still really good.
Yeah,
Parise has this back issue that he's been dealing with.
Exactly, and Suter just plays a lot of minutes.
The Central is Nashville and Winnipeg's for the taking, and Vegas. No, Vegas is in the Pacific.
No, Pacific. Boy, Vegas.
Them's guys.
Yeah, but let's keep this
Blackhawks. Well, the thing is, it's the go for it years. I mean, this is exactly the downhill that everyone's been predicting since.
Yeah,
like even the last cup the Blackhawks won, I don't know that anyone predicted that. Like,
they're not the New England Patriots where you can.
They're ageless wonder because you can't find those hidden gems. You can, but
it's a lot harder.
Yeah,
there's
the scouting's so good in hockey and over in Europe, and
there's only so much young players can do for your team. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like you're not going to always find an Artemi Panarin for nothing, but then have to pay him.
Was it a couple? Did LA miss the playoffs last year?
Yes, they did.
I don't know if it was last year or one of the years that they got bounced very early in the first round. And somebody tweeted out, and this was a while back, so forgive me. The draft picks that Dean Lombardi had to work with because they were and he had traded so many away to acquire all these assets that he had.
Well, I think, and he also didn't have anything to work with on the salary cap because he paid.
Oh, absolutely.
We got Mike Richards. He didn't buy him out when he should have.
No, Marion Gabbert.
Dustin Brown wasn't working out, and he's credit him. He's been better this season, but Marion Gabbert was.
Even like I think they're paying what Alec Martinez like $4 million, $4.5 million, somewhere around there.
He's had his ups and downs, but yeah, he's not worth.
Jake Muzzin's making like $6 million, isn't he? He's making.
You're asking me about contracts on teams that are not.
Drew Doughty makes a lot. That's all I know. And Jonathan Quick makes a ton. Yeah, Jonathan Quick makes what, 7 or 8, I would think.
The Leafs fans are going to be keeping their eye on Drew Doughty, but I'm skeptical on him.
But the year that they miss, they had like a second, a fifth, and a seventh. So it's those little trades that you start to lose that prospect capital that you can build towards in the future because you're giving away guys that you really don't know.
Yeah, and I think that's why the regime changed with Rob Blake there now. So
you look at the Leafs and Tampa as well, very much so, Tampa more so than the Leafs. Tampa has probably the best system in hockey. Look at the World Juniors last year, look at the World Juniors this year, it's pretty much all Tampa. Yeah. It's because you have to be able, I don't want to take an inadvertent shot at Edmonton here, but that's why Edmonton was hurting for so long. They had all these first overall picks, but you have to hit past the first two rounds.
The cupboards are bare.
You have to.
That's
the thing is they were
compared to what other teams have. They should be a lot further along considering the years they've had.
They had a really bad streak where they couldn't hit on any of their late round prospects, and you need those guys. Those Datsyuks, those Zetterbergs, Detroit's a sterling example. I mean,
you don't need to have a Dats.
But you need guys that you can pick past the first round that can come in and contribute. You need, take the Leafs for example, you have a Connor Brown who came in at 20 goals last year, he's a 6th round pick. You have Andreas Johnsson who was a 7th round pick who looks like he can be an NHL contributor.
Was he a 7th?
I believe so, or a 6th.
I know he was late, maybe he was a 7th. Johnsson I know was a late pick, so we can just keep it at that.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is the Blackhawks, good, they're hitting with their 1st and 2nd picks, which is good. But they need to be they need to pick smart in the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th rounds.
Yeah.
Actually, the first 3 rounds, you can find guys that will grow into something. It's what you do with those later picks that really tests your scouting department.
And Leafs fans, that's why you should be looking at what an Andreas Johnsson.
Even the Leafs, they're not as deep for good reason.
They're not as deep on the wing, on Saturday. Their best
three prospects are in the NHL.
Yeah, but that's what happens when you have a rebuild. Yeah,
exactly.
But
that's what I'm saying, is they're not deep because they've brought all their best prospects up.
But you wait a couple years, you're going to see those prospects continue to rise.
Yeah. Well, I think after this next draft with the Leafs, I think you'll see it get a little bit better because
But that's also why, by the way, Johnsson was a 7th round pick. But that's why you're going
to... Score one for Austin.
That's why you're going to see... People are saying I've been guilty on trading a first round pick if you can get that top four defenseman. But the way I think of it now, those first round picks can hit for you in 2 to 3 years. While that guy you may be trading that first round pick for may not be there after the 2 years.
Well, somebody was tweeting out today. I follow a couple Canucks aggregator. Yes, yeah. And there's a lot of noise about
Tanev,
and somebody was saying Liljegren in a first is the price.
Yeah, give me a break.
No thanks.
That's just a guy.
I'll take my chances with Roman Polak. Well, and that's how I work Roman Polak into the conversation.
Let's not go that far. I know.
The podcast, David thought I could not work Roman Polak into a conversation.
No, yet, I said there would be. No. I said there'd be no reason to bring up Roman Polak. But
there's always a reason to bring up Roman Polak. I'll take my chances with him and Borgman and Carrick, is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
As shady as the Leafs defense is, I'm not mortgaging the future to bring in a temporary fix.
Okay.
Because you're not going to have money for him.
Well, let me have money from.
You're paying Zaitsev for the next 7 years.
Yeah.
Riley just signed.
Yeah, Riley.
Gardner's up next year.
He's gone. I'm convinced Jake Gardner is not going to be a Leaf after next season.
That's fair.
Because, no, it's not because I don't think the Leafs want him, because Babcock has proven that he likes Gardner.
You're
What are you going to pay him? And how are you
going to... Roman Polak's getting a 6-year extension, so get ready.
Look at
six
you.
Times trying. Six.
No, the only reason why I say that with Gardner, goddamn, your back would keep locking, sleeping.
I could fix it, but then I'd have to stop the lovely broadcast we're doing.
Do not. Sorry, my computer took 10 minutes to load because I didn't update.
So now we're using my lovely
Steve Dangle is somehow listening, no, it didn't break my computer, but didn't help.
I'm using the Apple product, and it's fully functional, Steve. Shout out to you.
If you haven't listened to Steve's
I've actually been putting off the update from Apple for a week now.
Now, we listen to the Steve Dangle podcast a lot, and if you haven't listened to Steve's latest tirade on how Apple broke his phone, just listen to that one area. Maybe I'll put the link of it into here.
I forget what loss it was, and we'll stop talking about Steve because I'm sure he's seething at us talking about his broken phone, but... one of the losses he tweeted out, the Leafs, or they broke my hockey team or something along those lines. I tweeted him back and just said, boy, you have a lot of broken stuff nowadays.
Was it the Senators? Was it the Sens game?
I think
the game before the Sens game. I think it was.
The Flyers.
I'm talking about...
It was one of the OT losses, regardless.
The one at home, because they played the Senators.
Yeah.
Or it could have been the Flyers game. I don't know. All right. So... Yeah, and you know, I'm gonna try to speak proper English right now.
Words.
Your latest draft prospect ranking came out. So if you haven't looked, again, I'm gonna put the link to that in the description. But your latest,
it's never too early for draft stuff.
No, contrary to what some people have been saying in the comments, which you shouldn't be reading sometimes.
Hold on, they are not. They have not bashed me.
No, but
they were arguing about where the Leafs would be drafting.
Okay,
which is fine.
This is fine. Nobody knows where the Leafs are drafting.
I have a high regard on where the Leafs can go in the playoffs, but who knows?
Yeah, but no. Seeing what you are now, this is the other thing. Okay, look, Liljegren, he was a good pick, but you're not always going to get those guys. But you're still going to get, like, you look at Team Canada. People bash Team Canada because it didn't have the...
There's a couple guys that are... Sorry to cut you off.
Go ahead.
There's a couple guys that are like Timothy Liljegren, not as highly ranked, but guys that were very highly regarded coming into the year that are slipping. Either because other guys are outperforming them or just because they're having rough seasons.
Yeah. And now the reason why I brought up Team Canada is because people thought Team Canada had no chance. Yeah. No chance at winning the World Juniors. Because you look at Sweden,
I certainly didn't.
And you looked at you looked at Finland.
I saw that tweet before Sweden camp showing their starting five. Was it Anderson, Nylander, Pettersson, Liljegren, and Dahlin? I was like, just give them the gold.
But
it's over.
But Canada had the depth. Again, is that Pucks always going? Is that always? And you know, coaching was a big thing. Goaltending was a big thing too. That's why the Leafs do not need to draft a top end center. They have.
It'd be nice.
It would be nice. I mean,
they could go there. I've said to you in our little chats and our chats with a couple buddies that there's two ways I can see the Leafs going with this pick, and it's a center to replenish what they've lost, because right now,
well, loss they never had.
Let's just say that. Well, I mean, Matthews, Nylander, and Marner are all centers technically.
Yeah,
technically,
when they played juniors or
yeah, but
before that,
their best, unless I'm forgetting somebody, their best prospect at center right now is Adam Brooks.
It is,
because Jeremy Bracco's been into a winger.
Unless you're considering Miro Altonen a prospect,
not really. If we've signed him as a free agent, I don't really consider him a prospect. Like Borgman, for
he's
whatever
on an entry
reason.
Level, but yeah, he's what the
I consider prospects.
Prospect.
That are coming up through the minors, like just starting in the minors or drafted.
Yeah, then it's didn't like play, I don't. Didn't play pro hockey before. Yeah, they
I don't
got
consider
here.
Andreas Johnson a prospect because he's like 24, 25-ish now.
Yeah,
he's,
I mean,
he's
been in
there.
The system for a while, so
there's like there's a certain cutoff.
Yeah. So when what I mean by
did my thing just just
no, you're good.
Okay.
But the reason why I bring up yes, it would be nice if the Leafs had a high-end center that they
There's my draft thing. Sorry, I've been looking for my thing I wrote about the targets for the Leafs because I want to have a thing on it.
So, because the reason why I bring that up is, would it be nice if the Leafs picked a guy that could end up being a number two center? That would be great. But I just want the Leafs to pick a guy that, A, good hockey sense, because they kind of lack that in the center ice position, other than Matthews and Kadri, we'll say. I would like a guy that has... I mean, Babcock is looking for a guy with good size, can skate, and just play smart hockey. Is that possible to find? Based on what you've done draft? In your draft, Frankie.
Where the Leafs are picking, you're going to find a guy... Sorry. What was the last part of that? Because
I'm looking for a guy that's got size.
I was reading the comments of what lovely people had to say about that first
is
post.
Is size everything for me?
Oh, no. Sorry, size.
Size would be nice, because...
Well, one of the guys I put in this that the Leafs can take a waiver on and I think has a lot of upside is Jack McBain. He's an Ontario Junior A prospect right now.
Isn't there another McBain out in...
I feel there like
there's
is...
another McBain somewhere. I've
sounds
seen the like name
it.
Sounds
I'd have to look
familiar.
At the list. It's like all the names I've watched, like initial highlights, but I haven't done like a deep dive. That's what this first post was, just like a basic what you should know, how he's doing his season and any information on the World Juniors and why they're rising and whatnot.
Yeah.
McBain didn't go to the World Juniors. He was at the World Under 18 Challenge.
Okay.
Or World Under 19 Challenge. I forget what it's called. Playing for Canada. I believe he was on the winning team. That beat, I'd like to say, either the U.S. or Russia.
It's usually one of them, too, or
U.S.,
Sweden.
I think. And he looks good. He's 6'3".
Now, okay, what I mean by size, I'm not talking about Brian Boyle
you
or
can be like, you can be 6 foot 185. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good size for an NHL center nowadays.
Yeah, it is.
You just don't want to be 5'9", 160 coming into the league. That's a bad idea.
No.
But... McBain, the thing about him is he's 6'3", but he's scouts really like his skating ability. He's long, he's rangy, he's got a lot of skill, and he thinks the game really well. Sounds like a guy that can be like a top 9, middle 6 kind of guy.
Yeah.
Which is, with Matthews and Kadri, which is presumably your two centers, you don't need a star. You need a guy that's not exactly a Frédéric Gauthier where you bill him as the fourth line center of the future, but
I wouldn't mind a guy that could step up and play a number two role.
Yeah.
But if he's at the three, I don't want a ceiling of three. I want a ceiling of two with most likely playing a three.
You want a top six ceiling, but you wouldn't mind if he plays.
This sounds like we're shopping at like IKEA.
Yeah.
I would like this. But if I got this, I'm okay.
Oh, there's a reference from Deadpool that I make all the time with my father in IKEA. I'm not going to make it now, but...
Don't.
Search it if you know what I'm talking about. There's no swearing. It's just... Okay. It's an inside joke, and it just made me think of it.
Yeah. Now, okay. The draft...
I can talk about the draft all day.
They can also
go for a defenseman, because they don't need a winger. If the one thing the Leafs are good at, they're extremely deep on the wings. And they made it deeper because Bracco, who's probably one of their top forward prospects, if not the top forward prospect, was converted into a right winger when he joined the Marlies.
People are giving Kapanen in that role, which is fine.
It's Kapanen, another guy. It's like, if he's played in the NHL, I don't really count it.
Yeah, but he's only played...
Kapanen played like an entire playoff series, so I'm like, he's not a prospect anymore.
Yeah,
he's just playing in the A.
But then he goes back to the NHL and people are like, ready to riot. Actually, this gives me a good segue out of the draft.
Yeah.
As much as I like talking about the draft, I like saving that for when
the draft is close.
Yeah, when the Leafs are picking.
6 months away.
Yeah, can't believe that.
Sick. Well, 5 and a bit.
Yeah. So Kapanen brings
you,
me.
You know what? Sorry to cut you off. No, I just realized the trade deadline's in a month exactly.
Not even. Is it exactly
February 26th?
Okay. We're recording this on January 26th, so exactly.
Sorry, I just looked over at your computer screen because that was the date. I was like, fun.
My computer, which is quick, is dying, which I don't care because it pissed me off.
It's already dead to me.
Pretty much. as much as I like talking about the draft stuff, it gives me a good way in. We talked about Kapanen. Let's talk about Mike Babcock.
Okay.
because...
What do you want to talk about?
All right, so everybody was complaining about the lines. There's some people who probably didn't give a flying crap about the lines. There were a lot of people who had something to say about the lines. I will admit, I had some problems with the way that the lines were working. But now, they work. I was there when Babcock changed the lines. I took a minute to be like, is he just doing this to try it in practice?
Well, it sure looked like the Chicago game in the first period. Yeah. He had Komarov out with Kadri and Marlowe in the first period after a couple
of... That was just to send a message, I thought. But when he changed those lines, and I was in the room when he talked about why he's doing it, he said, I looked back, I thought everything went well, and he realized, we're not spending enough time in the offensive zone. What was his decision? Not to move Mitch down to the fourth. Create a fourth line. Now, I don't think he's high on Dominic Moore.
No, I don't know.
But I feel like he has Komarov and Kapanen together, who are good friends. Yep. They are very fond of each other, especially Kapanen. He kind of sees...
They're both Finnish.
Well, born in Estonia. Finnish, yeah. Komarov is the international man of mystery. That's my nickname for him. But no, Babcock realized the fourth line was not being used the way a fourth line should be used. 6 minutes a game? Yes. You can't do that in this NHL anymore. On the road, especially. Because what are teams going to do? They're going to match against your fourth line. Gauthier... I will just say this about you look at people are like, yeah, he didn't look bad. This is where the stats can also say, okay, he was not establishing himself physically enough.
Yeah, for a 6'5" guy, he was
at times he was soft.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't mean to bring nationality into it, but he's from Quebec.
But he was reputation.
Those Quebec sweaters with their visors and they're going out of the corners and I don't know. Don Cherry.
That was not good.
No. Well.
No. Sorry. No.
They can't all be winners, Dave.
No, but that was never Gauthier's reputation in the Quebec League. He was that defensive-minded, tough to play against centerman.
He could win faceoffs. That's what he was good at.
Yeah, but in that final minute of that World Junior game, everybody was just like, "Oh my God, the Leafs." Gauthier might actually be something.
Yeah, because he's really good at defensive zone faceoffs and penalty killing.
So,
which is why they subbed him as a bottom six player.
I think that's where he needs to work on just using those physical tools he has. Babcock likes his size. He just doesn't like how he uses it. And it's fair. But he's also
Twenty-two.
Yeah, because Riley's 23, and he was picked the year after Riley. I feel like maybe if he's not established by next year, I don't know what the future will hold for him.
I mean, the good thing about the pick of Gauthier, because I'm just looking at who you always look at who was drafted after him. If a guy doesn't exactly work, was nothing really behind him that like.
It's in terms of center, because that's what the Leafs were looking for.
No, like they're all guys that would also be bottom six guys. I'm not.
Burakovsky was picked.
There. Madison Bowie and Arturi Lekkonen are the only two guys that stick.
Burakovsky picked after him?
Burakovsky was, but he hasn't been lighting the world on fire with Washington.
He hasn't been bad, but
no, he just doesn't. He doesn't. Produce he does. As he much doesn't as they'd like him. He flies. He's a great skater.
Yeah.
Shea Theodore, but like Michael McCarron was the next center picked after him, so
yeah,
he's still in the AHL.
Well, that's also a Montreal pick, and they don't know. Talk about another team.
Talk about a size pick.
Let's not get into Montreal either, because I don't want my brain to hurt.
I had to write on them, or I had to write on Michael McCarron a bit for prospect rankings for the Winning Habit, and he's interesting for sure. They don't really know what they have with him.
Yeah, the Montreal doesn't really know what they have right now to work with. I don't know. Let's go there. But no, the reason why I brought
Anthony Mantha was taken one pick before Gauthier.
Oh, that's true. Rough. I remember that. I think that's the guy that the Leafs wanted. Oh,
Kirby Brykle was taken two picks before. Anyhow.
It's always great to look back at those picks.
Yeah, but... no, it is. It's really fun. Especially when you're looking back at Matthew Barzal. Shout out Boston real quick.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
And Jake DeBrusk has worked out. He scored one on Condon yesterday.
How about the other two players they picked before Matthew Barzal?
Senishin and Zboril, they're both playing for Providence.
Just imagine. Okay, well, you're going there, so I'll go there too. Mm-hmm. Imagine if, okay, now the Leafs went.
You want to do fantasy scenarios for the 2015 draft?
No. This is why, okay, we know who the Leafs picked.
Yeah, no, it's nobody's going away for Marner.
Yeah. Now, that wasn't...
Shout out Arizona.
I mean, I wonder if Boston offered the Leafs.
How about
I bring this scenario up to you? Boston wanted the fifth pick. I mean, because the Leafs are not going to trade Boston the fourth pick.
No, they already did that.
Although Boston would have taken Hanifin. That's who they wanted.
Man, Toronto taking Hanifin. I love Mitch Marner, but...
Nah, you know, I think Marner...
He was definitely not the wrong pick.
No, and I think they wanted the talent.
When you're picking that high, it's always a question of what this guy would have looked like with your team.
I always say it's legit to question the guys you pick.
Like,
but I bring
go
this...
even past. I'm sorry, I keep cutting you off. Number 8 in that first round, Zach Werenski. Number 10.
That's who the Leafs
in that
wanted.
Same first round, Mikko Rantanen.
Didn't the Leafs, if I'm not wrong, didn't the Leafs try to trade down with Columbus for that reason?
Yes, I think so. There was a rumor about getting
But Columbus Werenski. Would have just taken Werenski at 4.
That's the guy they wanted.
If you want a guy,
you're going to take him where you pick
exactly.
him, if he's available.
Now, the only reason why I bring up the Bruins and the 3 picks and the Leafs...
Ooh, there are some good combos here.
Would the Leafs have, if Boston had offered...
And New York got Bevilier in that draft.
That's pretty good. Yeah, now, if you're the Leafs... Stop cutting me off. If the Leafs were offered the 3 picks that Boston had for the 4th pick, are you doing it?
Probably.
Imagine Mark Hunter being
told... That was a good draft.
Imagine Mark Hunter being told, we have now given you 3 first round picks for the 4th. I probably would have done it, as much as Mitch Marner is great. Have the opportunity to pick Barzal. This would have been my picks. Barzal, Shabbat, and there was another player I'm thinking.
Besser. You could do...
Nah, you know what?
Let me read out the picks to you after Barzal. Kyle Connor, Thomas Shabbat, Evgeny Svechnikov, Joel Eriksson-Ek, Colin White, Ilya Samsonov, Besser, Konechny, who was really highly touted back then. Roslovic, who is a top prospect now. Noah Juulsen, Jacob Larsson, Bevilier, Gabriel Carlson, who's come on with Columbus, and Nick Merkley was in the first round.
You know what? We haven't seen him yet in the NHL, but Jacob Larsson would have been a nice pick, too.
Yeah. But Brandon Carlo was also in the NHL. He was taken early in the second.
Yep.
That was a good pick by Boston.
It was. Boston is... Now, okay. I'm just going to leave on that note and say the Leafs may have... Then I'm not saying the Leafs would have ever been offered that.
The Leafs also had another... They had Anaheim's first.
Yes.
At the end of that first round, they traded back and got Dermott.
Yeah.
Evidently, which is fine.
Well, but they traded into the second round, so...
They traded that pick twice. They traded back once in the second... Or I forget
the Leafs were smart in that regard.
Yep. Prospect capital. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Because
that... I'm sorry I keep cutting you off. That other... Because they traded back and got 2 second rounders. That second rounder was Jeremy Bracco.
Yep.
So they got Dermott and Bracco for trading a first-round pick.
They also got another pick out of that, wasn't it? They traded... They had a second-round pick. No, Zirkles.
Yes.
Third-round pick.
Right. They traded back again.
Yeah, the Leafs were just...
They traded back the pick they got with Bracco and got another third, which they took Zirkles and Nielsen in the third.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they also had Timoshov and Kristalev, who looked really good. That draft was probably the best draft they've had in a really long time.
Yep.
If not ever.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
That even though they got Matthews first overall, I mean, 2016 was not their best draft.
No, I mean, it's a little early to say, but
they just took a lot of big bodies.
2015 draft was also a really good class.
Yep.
You have
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, yeah, Boston had that scenario where they would have offered the Leafs those picks. I probably would have done it. But, I mean, I have no issue with how it ended up, because Boston, I think, wasted two of the three picks. Well, I mean, yeah, okay, those two, you know, players have a chance, but...
Still early, honestly. Yeah. Zboril,
was Shirelli still the GM at the time?
No, that was Don Sweeney's first draft, I'm pretty sure. Because that was McDavid. That was the McDavid draft when Shirelli went over to Edmonton and he got the first pick with McDavid.
Yeah, and we all know how that's working out. But
but yeah, I don't know. It's just...
Yeah.
It's like you said, it's too early to tell. Are they underwhelming picks? Sure. But they're who they wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... You live by the sword, die by the sword.
Yeah. I want to bring it back to the team right now, though. When we were talking about the lines, really got off topic a little bit there, but I think we...
That's the beauty of podcasts.
It is.
You go on whatever tangent you want.
If people are just like, you guys get off topic a lot, it's like, welcome to the podcast world, bud. Yep. The last two games, the Dallas game, offensively, I'm encouraged.
Zach Hyman scored.
Yeah. Did you see the tweet? Wasn't it you that posted the tweet in our group? Maybe. That Zach Hyman has more even strength points than Malkin.
Yeah, here, let me Crosby. Pull the tweet up.
I think it was Ovechkin.
Backstrom.
Was Ovechkin in there?
Yeah, I remember seeing Backstrom. Hold on one sec. Where is
I'll it? I'll let you dig that up.
I know I have it. Here, just kill time. While okay. I'm looking for it.
I'll kill time. Da, da, yes. da. No, I'm not. No, because the reason why I say that is because. That but the big thing about having those four lines is now teams have to defend the Leafs four. This was the issue that Leafs fans had with the way Babcock's system or the way the Leafs were playing. The Leafs had four lines. I mean, they had four lines before. It's not like they didn't have lines, but they were too laid back. They got a lead, they didn't press. What happened against Dallas is how the Leafs should play. You're up a couple of goals, a goal or two. I think it was like 3-1. Don't let your foot off the gas.
Yeah. Here's the tweet. Zach Hyman has more 5v5 points than Malkin, Nicholas Backstrom, Tyler Seguin, Sidney Crosby, Phil Kessel, and Patrick Laine.
So no Ovechkin, which that's
so funny. it's not even Matthews versus Laine anymore. It's Laine versus Hyman.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Let's calm down a little bit. I have Patrick Laine in fantasy. The dude's a stud. Calm down.
You're the one that brought it up.
But let's be clear. 5v5 points. Zach Hyman, out of that entire list, is last in total points. Because all these guys are dynamite on the power play.
Yep.
So, it's not to say Zach Hyman's a better player. It's just, wow, Zach Hyman's having a very good season.
Maybe and Zach Hyman is not as offensively inept as people have said he is.
He's 2 points off his career high, which, I mean, it's only been 1 year. He had 28 points last year. He's 26 so far, and we're only halfway through the season. Well,
yeah.
More than halfway. 52-ish games.
Yeah, we're not mid-season anymore.
Yeah, so, because I always think the All-Star breaks, like...
Yeah, it's when things really start to ramp up in terms of trade rumors and...
It's a great time.
Really... pushing up. Yeah,
this is the fun time of the hockey
season. This is where teams have to establish what team they want to be. Right now, that Dallas game should be, okay, minus letting McElhinney have to stop 38 shots, 38, 39 yeah, shots.
Yeah, that's a little rough, but...
It's, I think people are like, oh, but then all... There were some grade-A scoring chances.
Yeah, that save he made on Ben Point Blank was very good.
The Ben one...
He was a little deep in his
I think it was Devin Shore. He had a nice one where he came out of the crease... And really challenged, and it could have gone bad if
the he had rebound... a. I remember he had a really nice cross crease save on Jamie. It was either Ben or Sagan on the power play. They gave up a third period power play, and he made a really nice cross crease.
So I told you guys when I saw McElhinney in practice, I was like, I'm a little worried, but no, he's been with the Leafs. A guy who hasn't played in almost a month, I had no issues with that performance, and there's no one else should have a problem.
And the thing is, everyone, you can call for Calvin Pickard. You can call for Garrett Sparks.
They're the injury call-ups of Anderson. Knock on wood. Oh, my God. I got to find wood. Hold on. I found it.
I knocked on my head just for anybody. We'll break the fourth wall there.
Thank you.
No worries. I'm a man of the people. Nobody cares. I understand. They're there for injury. Like you said, they're there if Anderson gets injured or if McElhinney gets injured. Obviously, Pickard came up and played that game in Colorado.
Yeah.
It's not pretty, McElhinney. He does not make it look easy, and he makes you sweat a little bit, but he's been good. He's been a backup. He's exactly what you want on your backup. He's got a 9.23 save percentage, I'm pretty sure, this year.
I think in his last four starts, it's like over 9.40.
You'd think he'd had like an 8.60 the way Leaf fans talk about him.
Yeah.
Like an unfathomably bad.
It's because nobody thinks Babcock.
It's because shiny things down in the AHL, but you're stuck with McElhinney.
I think it's a lot of people who watch the Marlies and see all the stats from the Marlies goalies and
Calvin Pickard's the backup goalie in the AHL. He's got a 93 save percentage. That's absurd.
Well, what's the point of playing a backup goalie like those two with that potential? I think McElhinney may play 10 games this season.
McElhinney played for the first time in 15 games.
I don't tonight. Want a young player, or young goalie sitting excuse like that.
Me, yesterday. First time in 15 games. Or Pickard sitting behind Frederik Andersen for a month and a half waiting for a chance?
I'm
hoping a back-to-back
comes actually hoping that a team calls the Leafs and say, what do you want for one of them? Pickard is the obvious one that most teams will want
because of the NHL experience. You get more of a... Sparks isn't bad, though.
Yeah.
I think somebody take a waiver on the... I don't think he's the AHL leader in save percentage anymore. I think... is it Thatcher Demko? I'd like to say. Has just a tad bit better than him. For good reason, Thatcher Demko's a stud.
He was also, highly ranked goalie prospect.
He's a first-round pick. So, you know. So, yeah. I mean, if teams are... I mean, you want to bring it back to teams that need help. The Philadelphia Flyers seem to always need goaltending help. The Islanders need goaltending help.
If I'm the Leafs and the Islanders are calling, what prospects do you got?
Yeah, sure.
This is the issue. Yeah, you're going to trade a goalie out. I'm looking at also teams that may have some contract space. Because the Leafs
give us that Hosang kid.
No.
They don't want him.
Yeah, but not many teams want a guy who apparently is a bit of a piece of work.
Yeah, you know who was also a piece of work? That 2017-30 goal scorer, Nazem Kadri.
Not on the Josh Hosang level, but yeah, I know.
He was treated the exact same by the media, though, saying, like, he's a problem.
Yeah, but...
I also love that people made such a big deal of him wearing 66. That was awesome.
That was great.
I put it as stat. It was like 14 people in the league are wearing 4, and nobody gets up in arms about Bobby Orr.
Exactly. Good point. All right. The Leafs are... I think the Leafs, if they can... can Boston continue to play the way they're playing? I don't think so. I think at some point they're going to come to earth a little bit because I think there's some guys... I think Boston is on a run right now that the Leafs were kind of on, especially at the beginning of the season. I think some guys are not going to be able to keep it up.
Yeah.
So, if you're a Leafs fan, you are hoping that Boston cools down at the playoff time the Leafs kind of did.
Yep.
And, look, Tampa is a well-oiled machine.
Boston's only a couple points behind Tampa now.
That's the one thing. You better hope Tampa doesn't go down.
Victor Hedman's out for an extended period.
He's out, but Vasilevsky is still
there. Sergachev's out as really well, good. I'm pretty sure.
No, or he's a healthy scratch.
How do you healthy scratch?
Because you know what?
The guy's outscoring the forward he was traded for.
But he also has not scored a lot since December. He's been on a bit of a rookie wall right now. Send him down to Syracuse.
Do something with him. Don't sit him. The guy's probably...
This is John Cooper giving him...
He's the best defensive prospect in hockey right now.
But what the other message you also said
before Dalton comes in, obviously, but
is it worth the healthy scratch a guy like that or sending him to the AHL?
I don't think they can send him to the AHL. I think he's too young. He's on that in between where he has to either go back down or
I don't think so.
No, that'd be good. He was drafted in 2016, the Matthews draft.
He was 9th overall. I'm not sure now. You've made me...
I don't know how that works. There's a certain age where you either have to stick or go back.
If he follows the international rules for prospects.
Right.
or if he follows the...
I don't know. That'd be interesting to look into. Regardless, he should be playing for the Lightning, especially
not Toronto.
I suggested on Twitter that he should be going to the All-Star game as a replacement for Hedman, because as good as Braden Point has been, that's dumb. Because now you're short of defenseman at the All-Star game.
Okay, now, this is... I thought at first it was dumb, but Braden Point has been pretty good.
Is he
All-Star worthy? No, but...
Nothing at all to do. Braden Point is an exceptionally good player, and his story is great.
Well, he's a good player. I wouldn't say, like, over the top good.
Again, hitting late on your picks. He was, what, a fifth or sixth rounder or something?
No, hold on. Not that much.
I think he was a fourth round.
I think he was third or fourth round. Because I just remember him scoring those 20 goals in, like, a very short span. I'm like, is this guy like a former first round? No, of course he's not a first round pick, because the Lightning always find these guys.
Yep. They found, Matthew Joseph, played for Canada. He was a fourth rounder, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He's a pretty good player. Taylor Radish, he was a second rounder. I mean, that's not exactly. Yeah. Boris Kachuk.
Kachuk.
Yep.
That name tripped me out so much.
When U.S. played Canada, that was a little weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm completely wrong on this draft pick. Third round pick. 79th overall.
Yeah.
So that's still impressive.
This is my... I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about Braden Point, but...
Yeah.
No, I'm not bashing Braden Point. He's a very good hockey player.
It seems like the rule is if a player is injured or not playing for that team, you take another player from that team.
Yeah.
Sergachev...
That's what I'm saying. I'm not...
I probably wouldn't have sent Sergachev. I probably would have taken Point because...
But I wouldn't have sent another defenseman from the Lightning, honestly. I wouldn't have sent Strowman. I wouldn't have sent... Coburn, is he still on the team?
Coburn is on the team. Girardi's on the team.
So. Girardi. And Jason Garrison is not. He's in Vegas.
No, he's in Vegas. He just got called up by Vegas, actually. Gonna play.
I didn't know he got sent down.
Yeah, he got sent down at the beginning
of
the season.
They
have like 9 defensemen.
There's a lot... You think the Leafs have a rotation?
Yeah, but Vegas has knows how to make gold out of scrap.
They have. I think I sent you the video clip of what's his name, the defenseman the other night that scored Brad Hunt. Bart. Oh, that is the cleanest bar down shot I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Okay.
Pretty.
So the Leafs are in a situation. I think the Leafs are in a good situation because I think second place is the goal. I mean, I think the playoffs are their goal ultimately.
Yeah.
But second place would be an ideal place for them to want to be, because you get the home ice advantage, and it's going to be Boston. I don't see Tampa. I don't. Yeah. Okay. Victor Hedman's out.
The guy that commented on my article saying the Leafs are going to pick below 20 in the draft if they get the Lightning. Yeah, they're picking below 20.
Yeah.
That's going to be quick.
That'll also be a fantastic
quick and painless
series.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The Leafs seem to play really well in Tampa Bay for whatever reason.
Yeah, I think players like playing in Tampa.
Yeah, well,
could be that.
It's a beautiful stadium. I've been to what is it called, Amalie?
Amalie Arena.
It was back when it was the Sun Times or whatever.
We tried to go when we were in Florida.
Yeah,
didn't work out.
It's a beautiful rink. They have like a Tesla coil on the roof, which is really cool. They set it off and it makes like lightning bolts.
Yeah,
it's really cool. The experience is crazy.
Yeah, they've done a good job after they couldn't get people in the states.
Should give some pointers to Florida.
Yeah, just get... I don't know. But the Tampa market's a little different than Florida.
They're trying to give seats away.
Sunrise Florida is a little different than Tampa. Yeah. That's the thing. All right, the Leafs... I would like to think that they're in a good spot because... Players that need to be playing better, like Marner Nylander, are coming out of their rut.
And Kadri.
Yeah, I think Kadri. You know, as much... Ooh. I think
he
I agree.
Needed...
That makes a lot more sense now, because I think as much as people are talking about Marner and Nylander, the centers are what should be driving the line a little bit more. I'm not
Bozak
big...
hasn't been good.
Bozak is...
I mean, I'm sorry, Tyler Bozak's been a bit of a lightning rod for my criticism when we talk. Because... JVR hasn't been as good either, though. A lot of people are saying how much
they try to cheat. Like JVR, I think if you look at all of his goals, they're pretty much all the same.
Yep. No, he's
really good at doing that thing.
He's probably the best in the league at standing in front of the net and tipping pucks in and
getting them out of hands the air in close
and yeah.
Anything in close, he's getting it in. But
people, the thing is, you're not paying a guy $6 million a year to stand in front of the net.
No.
I keep bringing up Edmonton. They're doing that with Milan Lucic. He's a leader, of course. I don't think James Van Riemsdyk brings those same qualities.
No, what? James Van Riemsdyk... I don't think
he's as much of a voice in the room as Lucic is in Edmonton.
No, but
James Van Riemsdyk... And obviously Lucic is much bigger and much more physical.
Van Riemsdyk isn't a quiet guy either. Like, we talk to him, and no, he's actually, if you want to talk to a guy that's a little bit of a higher echelon on the Leafs in terms of production... He's probably the guy. He's actually not bad to interview. He's not bad. Connor Carrick isn't bad.
Well, I harp on Bozak a bit, but I talked to him in a scrum, and he was very approachable. Nice guy.
He's a leader.
Yeah.
It's the reason why...
Bozak's a voice in the room as well.
And Komarov, these guys are...
Komarov, everybody loves him in the room.
Yeah. Now, okay.
He wasn't even being scrummed the one day we were there, and he was, like, making the shoot in the wind with reporters. And
yep. So, you know what?
Shooting the breeze. Yeah. Excuse me, okay. The wind. It's words.
Okay. People are going to wonder what their status is. Let her ride out. If a good offer comes in for JVR, you know what? Sure. Because they need room. They're going to need room for Kapanen. I think Andreas Johnsson should be playing for the Leafs right now.
Yeah.
I think a guy like Dermott should stick with the Leafs when the time is right. This was actually the last... I think this is where I want to kind of end things, because you're going to write about some of this too.
Yes.
Zaitsev comes back.
Yep.
Where is he playing?
Oh, see...
What's your call? And I guarantee mine's going to be different than yours.
If you ask me... A week ago, I'd say he's back with Gardner, and everything goes back to the way it was. But there's something about Ron Hainsey. There's something about that old man.
So you're actually agreeing with what I was going to go with. You know what it is about Ron Hainsey? Again, you go to practice, you see now that game against the Senators, where he's he's telling Dermott what to do. You go to practice, he is probably the most vocal player on the ice.
Yep, that makes sense.
He is, he brings it. So I think he kind of understands what his role is with a guy like Gardner. Well, I don't think Zaitsev is still trying to
find himself in the league. He's only, a year and a half into his career?
In the NHL.
Regardless of how many years he's played in Russia, it's a different game.
Yeah, so I guess you're kind of on the agreement with me that you try to give Gardner and Zaitsev back together again.
No.
I mean, sorry, not Gardner, Riley. Why? No.
No, that is not what I'm going
for. If I'm the Leafs...
I mean, look at Gardner over the last five games. He's got 9 assists.
Yeah...
It's a couple. I mean, there's 2-3 assist
games. I also didn't like how he looked on that Sagan goal.
I mean, regardless, there was people on Twitter today saying like Jake Gardner, he had a 3-point game last night and he still angers me. Was what a lot of people were saying, and it's like but you take the good with the bad.
You need if you're gonna make a play like that or get beat on a play like that, you better have an extra play to make up for it. And he did. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you better come back and be ready.
I'm just worried. I've seen that play before from him. I can't find the play, and I looked forever for it.
You can't find the play because it happens every game. It's Jake Gardner.
No. This happened years. I'm talking FNUF era Leafs. Okay, lovely. So this was years ago, and this was before the Boston disaster.
That's really.
I think it was just before the Boston disaster. It was, you think a year or two before that. Jake Gardner was in the Leafs zone. I think FNUF was him and FNUF were paired together. That's how long ago this was. This memory has just been so entrenched in my brain that it hurts when I think about it, because I rehashed that when I saw this play last night.
Yeah.
If any of you listening remember this play and are able to comment and let me know when it came, I will personally give you the biggest shout out in the world. But Hamilton, Dougie Hamilton was still on the Bruins. He went after Gardner behind the net, plastered him against the boards, stole the puck off of him, feeds, I think it was Patrice Bergeron. I think it was Bergeron or Luch. I'm pretty sure it was Bergeron because it would be Bergeron. And he beat, again, I think it was Reimer at the time.
Yeah, it would have been. That was, that was before Bernier.
And I looked at Gardner and I was like, that was the softest play. I mean, yeah, Hamilton's a big boy, but you can, as a defenseman, there's ways to play it. And Gardner had a similar play happen to him, this almost exact same, where he got out-muscled for the puck. You know what his problem is sometimes is he's waiting too long to make a play.
Yep.
NHL, he's waiting for the perfect split thing. Second. Got to get that play up. Though a lot of those, I think it was the Austin Matthews goal at home. No, sorry, not Austin Matthews. There was a stretch pass he made. Maybe it wasn't Austin Matthews because like he passed it up to Hyman. I think Hyman passed it to Matthews.
That's the play. That's ringing a bell.
Yeah. It was against Ottawa. It was the goal Matthews scored against Ottawa in Ottawa. Jake Gardner passed it up, stretch pass to Hyman. Yes. He's really good at making those plays. He didn't have a lot of pressure on him, though. The book on Gardner is if you pressure him, and he will make he won't make the right play. So that's where I'm worried about with him. Hainsey will probably settle him down a bit.
You see,
he'll give him some lip at the same time too.
The one thing that bothers me about Gardner, and I'm sure I brought it up on this podcast before, is Jake Gardner when he wants to be. Can be the fastest skater on the ice. He's such a good skater. He knows he's one of the best skaters on the Leafs, and fans should know he's one of the best skaters on the Leafs.
Dermott's
very good, very very fast.
Kapanen is the best skater on the
team.
Him and Nylander are
one of when he wants to be. He can be.
I'm just disagreeing with effortless. Anybody you put up right now because I'm just
fair.
I get to cut you off for a change. Go ahead.
The thing I don't like about him is he seems to invite contact.
Yeah.
So he'll be chasing a puck into the corner, and instead of going in and edging around the net and wheeling the puck, he'll let a defender he'll slow up and let a defender get right onto his back.
Yeah.
And then have that defender softly ride him into the boards, and then he'll turn the puck over. Like those are the plays he has to eliminate from his game because those are. Forecheckers are too good.
Yeah.
They're not just looking to run you headfirst into the boards anymore. They're looking for the puck. They don't care about what happens to you. As long as their puck's on their stick and they have a chance to score.
Yeah.
That's what today's NHL is. Nobody's looking to just take your head off. Exactly. Well, some people are. Let's not say everybody isn't.
So, you're on the line that Hainsey maybe should stay with Gardner.
Well, I think Morgan Riley's got that confidence to his game right now. I don't think Jake Gardner has.
I think the benefit, too, is that they're kind of both going through rehab, and maybe you give Gardner Riley a little time to...
And Riley and Zaitsev have had rough patches last year, but they're not a liability.
But I also kind of think Babcock's going to try to just keep the chemistry, because it's really... At the same time, it's kind of hard to tell Riley and Zaitsev, yeah, you two are going to be the partners now. That puts a lot of pressure on them.
No, but... You want your entire unit to be good. Excuse me. If it's just Riley and Hainsey going, you're in trouble.
It is. Yep, I agree. So that probably should be the biggest storyline post All-Star break when they get back.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. I mean, if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. You go back and you know Riley and Hainsey are good together. No problem.
And
you're fixed.
You know what? Then what I would then like to see... Again, I don't know if it's going to happen. Dermott and Zaitsev.
Yeah.
Dermott with somebody. Carrick and Gardner.
Yeah. And that pairing's worked in the past, Carrick and Gardner.
It has.
It's not a shutdown pair, but it's definitely not a liability.
At the same time, the rotation would then be Carrick, Polak.
I hate that word.
But it looks also, this is going to be our closing note. Andreas Borgman kind of seems like the odd man out right now. Which
we're forgetting one individual. Two individuals, because Martin Marincin isn't completely out of the picture yet.
No, he's gone. He's done. No. He's not coming back anymore.
No. We're one injury away from seeing first pair Martin Marincin again.
No, we're not.
Marincin, Hainsey, first pair.
The Babcock has closed the book.
Let's just see what Hainsey can do. Let's see how magical he truly is. Bring Marincin up and see if he can turn him into a half-decent defenseman.
He can't. Nope.
Not even Hainsey can do it.
Stop it. If I'm looking at storylines post All-Star break, that blue line continues to kind of needs work. It definitely needs work, but I think, again, I'm gonna bring Steve's name into this. Maybe they have the ingredients. Maybe just how they're working together, it needs to be better.
I think the one thing you can't do is make a knee-jerk reaction and decide this. I know the exciting thing is to look at all the names on the draft that are available right now. I know good Branson's not a sexy name, but
there's not. They're not very good.
I know. There's
nothing that
nothing that's me. Going to make it worthwhile to just say let's send Dermott down to bring Jack Johnson or Mike Green in. It's like no, I'm good.
No,
I'd rather just let Dermott develop on the
NHL. You and I team. Were watching that Dermott video from Hockey Central last night, where he picks like Patrick Sharp goes on his shoulders and he lifts him up. He may be small. But he's got strength.
He can move the puck, and he's got... It doesn't really show
as much.
He has
that confidence, too.
He's also not afraid of anybody. He'll run into you.
And he stands players up at the blue line.
I think him being friends with Andrew Nielsen sort of helped that a bit, because Andrew Nielsen has that mean streak.
Yeah,
and it gives him a little bit more of an edge, because they are best friends down there.
They are.
Did you see the clip when Dermott came up, when Nielsen had to do their handshake by himself?
Yeah, poor guy.
Oh, poor Andrew. He'll get his time. Maybe not this year, but soon.
There's the Leafs have too many defensemen that are. You need a guy like Dermott and Lilligren to eventually take the defense. And
Emily Rasinen. Butchered his name.
Emily
Rasinen. I tried to say
it again, quick, but so. You said the prospect cabinet is not great. I think you give it time. It's these guys bad. Are gonna bring it up. It's gonna get. You're going to see... Look, the Marlies are a good team with young players because they're decent prospects. It didn't get to...
Well, I'm not saying any of those defensemen are bums.
Yeah.
They're just... Big body defensemen tend not to get as much hype as mobile...
Yeah.
A guy like Emilie Rasinen, if he's...
He needs... But he's also in a bit of a rut right now ever since the World Junior stuff. But he's also admitted that there's been a... He's been playing a lot of hockey, and I think it's just getting to him a little bit, so...
Yeah.
Give him time.
I like him. He's got a lot of...
Got potential.
Right-handed shot. Big body. 6'7".
Yeah. On that note, that's where I think it's going to be good to end, because, again, there's going to be a lot of this discussion when we post these... articles on the website. There's a lot to look forward to with the Leafs. Hopefully with the injuries on the blue line, when they get back, it gets better, which I hope it does. And then you just got to see what Babcock's willing to do with his lines. I think right now it's hard to change them, so there's optimism there. So please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You can also find it on Blog Talk Radio, who wonderfully sponsors us. We can't thank them enough. And then you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook, Tip of the Tower. Look up Austin's draft rankings. He will tweet them out.
I've actually gained some more followers since we made the point that I haven't been gaining followers.
Oh, that's good.
Since we started complaining. I don't know if it has anything to do with it, but thank you.
_AustinOwens on Twitter. You can find myself D_Morisuti. 2 S's, 2 T's, please.
And if you do see a Richard Lee Sam, let him know we're looking for him.
Yeah, we will.
We'll be putting posters up on your street corner, so just be aware.
Yeah. So next podcast, we got hopefully a couple of guests ready lined up to talk a little Blue Jays and a little Raptors. We've been neglecting them a little bit, but the Leafs are really the only... I mean, the Raptors are playing well, so I can't... Except for the loss. Recording this, the Raptors
just lost to Utah.
The Utah Jazz, yikes. Which They were not good from three.
Donovan Mitchell, go team.
So we will discuss the Raptors. We'll discuss the Blue Jays. We'll still have some Leaf stuff in there as well. It'll be more of a trio sports team podcast. And a little lacrosse.
Yeah, we will hopefully get to talk a little bit of lacrosse. And we'll try and keep it as general as possible so you can learn some stuff. Because I know lacrosse isn't exactly a mainstream
thing. Maybe there will be a good time for me to talk a little CFL because I also have an issue, a bone to pick.
We should just do CFL. Like a neglected sports podcast
for we one, should. One episode. Hey, you know what? We will have
the XFL just came out. Mm-hmm.
We got two years
to talk about that, though.
I think the plan will be we'll do two separate podcasts for that. Maybe if we have time next week to do two separate podcasts, we will do it. Thank you again. Please make sure you subscribe to all of our channels. Follow us on social media. If you have any comments, please comment. We want to know.
I read them with a box of tissues. Heed my warning.
Yeah. We can make this better for you. If we get enough readers.
If I'm not doing it for you, you can tell them to fire me. That's fine.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
never do.
At the same time, hey, eventually we want to have people on the podcast as guests. We would love to give you... This is, again, we're the Fan Center Network. We want to give the fans their voice.
Why don't
we
do that one time? We'll have maybe if... Not call-ins, but if people want to record messages and send them in, we can try and expand that way.
Well, we got to... People have to show that they want to do it, too.
Yeah.
As harsh as that might sound, if we nobody,
somebody love me.
I don't want to say, all right, send everything in, and I'm just looking at an empty.
We get one question. It's from my mother.
Wow, that's really depressing.
Awkward silence.
All right, thank you guys. Enjoy the NHL All-Star Game weekend, or however you decide to fill the void of probably not watching NHL All-Star Game weekend, because some people might not. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you again next week.